When Gail and I lived in Indiana, we met a woman named Kathy Hershey. Kathy is a wildlife rehabilitator. At that time, she was one of only 50 people in the state who had a federal permit. What that means is that she was a biologist who was licensed to take in injured wild animals. She would restore them to health and release them back into the wild if possible. From songbirds to bald eagles, she often helped birds and other animals return to their natural habitat. Now, sometimes an animal, a bird, could not be released because they were too injured to ever be able to take care of themselves again. She had a peregrine falcon there that was going to be with her for life. She also had a red-tailed hawk that she cared for. She had a turkey vulture that lives in her basement. It likes to watch TV. It has learned to open the doors, and sometimes she'd hear it sneaking up on her across the kitchen floor because it came upstairs. But what really intrigued me about Kathy is that she'd have these animals that had been rescued. She would nurture them, and then she would release them back into the wild. And when I met her, she had hawks, she had owls and other birds of prey that were convalescing in her barn. Now back then, like now, I was preaching a series on the family, so I invited Kathy to come to our church to be interviewed. She came and she brought a friend with her, Katie, who is a red-tailed hawk. Man, it was an awesome interview. It was just so cool to have her there on stage. And we talked about the process of working with wild animals, what it takes to get them ready to be independent, and then the emotion that you would often feel when you would watch them fly away. I told her about the time that I got to take care of a red-tailed hawk for a week. It had been hit by a car, and that bird just became so gentle. It would just sit on my shoulder and kind of peck through my hair. It was just such a cool experience, but it was hard to let it go. You know, we talked about why it's best to do that. As much as you enjoy having the animal, the best thing is to prepare it for independence. She pointed out that you have to make sure that an animal is healthy, that it's mature, that it's able to take care of itself, feed itself, provide for itself before it can be released. If it's a hunter, it has to be able to hunt. If it's a gatherer, it has to know where to get food and then how to store food for the winter. She said she would not put a splint on a falcon's leg and then just sort of launch it back into the woods. She wouldn't pick up a baby owl, dust it off, feed it a warm meal, and then send it on its way. No, the releasing process is a long and deliberate and gradual process, just like parenting. See, when it comes to our own kids, right, we need to prepare them for independence, and we gradually release them. It's what we've been talking about for the past several weeks. Kids go through different stages as they grow and mature, and parents need to be ready to respond to them differently in those different stages. Very young children need to be taught to obey. Elementary age kids need to be shown by example how to interact with others and how to make decisions, how to handle their emotions. Teenagers need to be coached, just like an athlete, to operate well under pressure, to make good decisions when the game is on the line, to depend on others, and to be courageous without being reckless. If you've missed any of those messages, especially if you've got kids at home or grandkids that you're really involved in raising, I would encourage you to go back and catch those messages because the Bible has so much insight about these things. You can go to our YouTube channel if you want to watch a video. Anywhere that you get podcasts, all you have to do is put in Nelson Christian Church, Bardstown, and you can find those messages. The series that we're in is called Setting a Course, Principles on Parenting. And today we're talking about releasing. Just like animals are released into the wild, children need to be released carefully, gradually, wisely. The Bible says in Psalm 127 that children are like arrows in the hands of a warrior. And Ken Eidelman pointed out that arrows have to be straightened, they have to be sharpened, they have to be aimed, and then ultimately they are released. Well, the first couple of messages in this series were about straightening and sharpening, and today we're kind of focusing more on the aiming and the releasing. Releasing your son or daughter does not begin when they graduate from high school. It's not when they get married or when you drop them off at college or even the first day of kindergarten. Releasing kids begins, no kidding, the moment the umbilical cord is cut, okay? The work begins to release children. It's a long, sometimes complicated process. It takes a certain amount of courage, finesse, tact, compassion, stubbornness, lots of prayer. But it is one of the keys, I believe, to raising children who become healthy and productive, God-honoring adults. Sometimes parents complain that their kids won't grow up, that they won't take responsibility, that they won't make something of themselves. And the problem sometimes, not always, but sometimes, is that the parents have not released them properly, so the kids are just reacting to the way that they have been raised. Releasing children is gradual, but it's also intentional. From letting family members and friends hold your baby, to putting him or her in the nursery at church, especially once they become mobile and vocal, if you know what I mean. Hiring a babysitter for the evening, letting them spend the night at grandma's house. Releasing is something that we do, and it begins very, very early. I remember when our kids were babies, we would put them down for the night, and they would cry in their crib because they weren't ready to go to bed. They wanted to be held. They wanted attention. They wanted to catch the end of Home Improvement. And you know how it goes, right? I mean, you do all the right things. You change their diaper. You feed them. You turn the little pinwheel on over the crib. And you say a prayer. And you sing a song. And you give them a kiss. And then you tiptoe to the door. And the light's off. And you go out and you close the door. And as soon as the door goes click, they start to cry. And it's not because they need anything. And it's not because they're in danger. They just wanted... Our kids wanted to hang out with us some more. Well, of course they would want to do that, right? I mean, who wouldn't want to hang out with us? So Gail and I started this thing where we would let them cry in their crib for 10 minutes. We would set the timer because if we didn't, 2 minutes felt like 10 minutes and 10 minutes felt like an hour, you know? And so we would set a timer. And, you know, with the first child, we did it because we were worried about them. By the third child, we were just so tired, you know? We were just praying, please, God. You know, knock them out, whatever. But we'd set the timer. They'd cry a few minutes. Usually they would go to sleep. They'd drift off. Sometimes they needed more attention than that. But you know, parents, sometimes they respond to every whimper. And then, man, it gets harder and harder to build independence as the kids grow. Kids have to learn that separation from mom and dad is a natural part of life. I'm not talking about abandoning them, and I'm just talking about releasing them. You remember what God said in Genesis 2:24? He said, a man leaves his father and mother and is joined to his wife, and the two are united into one. Well, the act of leaving parents and the act of entering into a relationship with a spouse, that's part of the maturing process. And whether our kids actually get married or not, there's a natural progression for healthy adults to want to be independent. And for that to work well, mom and dad have to let go. Now, I realize that maybe you're here today and you released your kids a long time ago, or maybe you don't have any kids and this feels pretty irrelevant to you. If you're a grandparent, if you're an aunt or an uncle, there may be some things here that will be helpful for you today. Maybe you have parents who are still releasing you or refusing to do that, and you might want to send them the link to this sermon and say, Mark said that you can back off, okay? I mean, in love and all that, Christian love. But seriously, I believe that there are some principles here that we all can gain from. And so I appreciate your patience, all right, if you feel like this is not speaking your language today. But we want to help kids become self-sufficient. And there are no foolproof promises, but there's some things I believe that we can provide to our children that can make a difference. So here's some principles and some ideas, okay? Children, for one thing, they need freedom for discovery. I love this story I read years ago about a traveling salesman. He was gone so much, but he had a rare night at home. He told his wife, why don't you go out for the evening? I'll handle the kids, because she was usually the one in charge.
So about 8:30, man, he sent everybody upstairs to get ready for bed, and he's settled into the recliner watching TV. And like a yo-yo, one of the kids keeps coming down to the bottom of the steps, and he says, go back upstairs. And they come down, he said, go back upstairs. So he did that for a little while. About 9:30, the doorbell rang, and it was Margaret from next door. She said, is Johnny here? And he's like, well, no, he's not here. My kids have been in bed for an hour. About that time, a little voice from upstairs said, I'm here, Mom. He won't let me come home. Man, it's not just the neighbor's kids who want independence, okay? Our kids need to be turned loose. Most young people have this built-in desire to get out and explore. Proverbs 15:14 says, a wise person is hungry for knowledge, while fools feed on trash. A wise person is curious. There's an eagerness to learn. Most kids have a hunger for discovery, a desire to experience firsthand. And they need some freedom to do that. I'm not talking about letting kids dabble in sin. Oh, they got to go out and sow their wild oats. I'm not talking about that. It says right there in Proverbs that a fool is the one who feeds on trash. Right? I'm not talking about letting them wander off and explore when they're too young to find their way home. But I'm saying kids need space. They need the opportunity to grow, to discover the world around them. From the time they're 6 months old, they start squirming in your arms because they want to get down. They want to get in the dirt. They want to get their hands on the dog or the cat. And they're going to taste test everything they can get their gums on. And a little bit of that is important for them. By the time they're to the terrible twos, or maybe the tolerable twos, or the terrific twos if you have just a great attitude, whatever your perspective is, I mean, they get really mobile, right? They run and climb and they're getting into everything, and they need some freedom to do that. One little kid muttered to his friend and said, first they teach you to walk, then they teach you to talk, and then they tell you to sit down and shut up. I mean, we need to let kids have some freedom. As they get older, they need to be able to discover even more. They cannot be fenced in, not literally or figuratively, for long, because there's too much to see and learn and experience. I mean, we all have this innate quality in us that wants to be free. We kind of want to be our own boss. We want to get out on our own. We want to set a course for our own lives, and so we can't wait to get our driver's license. We can't wait to graduate. We long for our own paychecks and our first apartment. And parents, we cannot take that personally when they want to break free from us. Man, God made us that way. It's an important part of the process. And so as parents, our job is to equip them to live without us. That's what good releasing of our kids is all about. It's not just letting go. It's preparing them to be let go. I've known kids who were so sheltered and so pampered by their parents that when they finally did leave home, man, they went off the deep end. They were either totally out of control or they bounced from relationship to relationship looking for somebody who will treat them and spoil them the same way their parents did. Other kids just don't leave home because it's so easy to stay and be lazy. Part of releasing is letting kids experience gradually life apart from us. I mean, is the process easy? No. Is it scary sometimes? Yes. Does it work? Not always. Proverbs 11:27 says, if you search for good, you will find favor. But if you search for evil, it will find you. Some kids search more for good. Some kids search more for evil. And it's our job to help them learn and discover and seek what's good. Now, I think freedom for discovery also refers to self-discovery. I read a verse to you a couple of weeks ago from Proverbs 22:6. Train a child in the way he should go, and when he was old, he will not turn from it. I mean, that verse suggests that there's a right way to go, and that we should teach that. In fact, we should model that. Somebody said if we live our lives by a double standard, our kids will always choose the easier of the two. So we have to model the right behavior. But this verse in Proverbs does not just mean that we train them that there's a right way to go and a wrong way to go. This verse literally suggests that we train a child according to their nature, according to their bent. Okay? That each child specifically, individually, is going to have strengths and weaknesses. And we want to train them according to how God made them. It's helping them discover who they are, how they are wired. Parents, we need to let kids discover that. It might be a lot of trial and error. Kids are not going to like everything that you like. They won't be good at everything that maybe you wish they were good at. You're going to need some patience and some grace during this time. But years ago, psychologist John Rosemond talked about parenting by helicopter. Are you familiar with that phrase? It's when parents obsessively hover over their children and they just refuse to release them. They don't want them to experience life. They want to protect them from everything. And he said, children that grow up in this kind of environment are usually dependent, they're fearful, they're socially immature, and they become undisciplined oftentimes. It's sort of a strange irony. If we are afraid to release our kids because we think they're not mature enough to face life on their own, our refusal to release them might be the very thing that's keeping them from maturing. Let me say that again. If we refuse to release our kids, we may be the very thing that's standing in the way of their own maturity. Kids need freedom for discovery. Now, at the same time, they still need reasonable boundaries, right? We've talked about boundaries each week in this series. And it applies here with releasing as well. If we just do it too quickly and we're just too haphazard about it, they may be overwhelmed with too much freedom too fast. Proverbs 5:22 says, an evil man is held captive by his own sins. They are ropes that catch and hold him. He'll die for lack of self-control. He'll be lost because of his great foolishness. If we release kids without teaching them self-control, the results can be devastating. Not just a lack of direction or a lack of purpose, but man, no respect for authority, often addictive or destructive behaviors come into play. Kids need boundaries growing up, and if we don't pull back on the reins sometimes, we could be setting them up for disaster. For instance, man, nearly every teenager in the history of the world at some point has said to his or her parents, "Don't you trust me?" And the answer is, not completely. The reason I set boundaries is because you want more freedom than you're capable of handling. Put another way, it might be I trust you, but I don't trust the experience that you have right now. As you gain more experience and as you prove more and more trustworthy, I'll give you more freedom. Like we said a few weeks ago, it is easier and it is much wiser, I believe, to start out strict and then release control as kids prove they're trustworthy than to just start out relaxed and kind of laissez-faire, you know, casual, and then you try to rein them in as things get out of control. It's just so hard to do that. Now, another thing about boundaries before we move on, just kind of reiterating some things. Part of boundaries is expectations. Proverbs 12:24 says, work hard and become a leader. Be lazy and become a slave. Children need to learn that work is a part of life. It's not just valuable, it's fulfilling. We are helping them develop a capacity to care for themselves. And so there are expectations, right? A young child can learn to put toys away. And as they grow older, we all pitch in together, right? Whether it's clearing the table, whether it's making a bed, or folding laundry, or cutting grass, or cleaning the bathrooms, all that kind of stuff. And as they mature, there's not just more freedom, but there's also more responsibility. Welcome to life, right? Some kids are great workers naturally. Maybe you've got those kids. Maybe you've watched them. I mean, they just can't wait to help do the next thing. Some kids, you have to threaten them to within an inch of their life, right? But it's such an important lesson. Bill Gates from Microsoft spoke one time at a high school in Visalia, California, and he offered some rules to live by. This is what he said. Life is not fair, get used to it. If you think your teacher is tough, wait till you get a boss. Flipping burgers is not beneath your dignity,
Your grandparents had a different word for burger flipping. They called it opportunity. In some schools, they have abolished failing grades, and they'll give you as many times as you want to get the right answer. He said, this does not bear the slightest resemblance to anything in real life. He said, television is not real life. In real life, people actually leave the coffee shop and they go to work. And then he said, be nice to nerds. Chances are you're going to end up working for one. You know, kids need to learn. We all need to learn that a strong work ethic prepares us for life. It's part of setting boundaries, parents, for the freedom they're going to have later on. Now, let me say one more thing before I give you this final suggestion about releasing our kids. The old do as I say, not as I do approach, that does not work with kids. Our sons and daughters need to grow up watching us be the men and women that we're asking them to be. Proverbs 20, verse 7, I love this verse. It says, the godly walk with integrity. Blessed are their children who follow them. I want you to notice the parents are not behind the kids driving them along. In this verse, they're out in front and they're showing their kids the way. Now, all this kind of brings us to the last thing that kids need as they grow and mature, and that's complete independence. John Ortberg, he's a pastor and an author, he said when his girls were little, they watched the movie Snow White together. And he said as he was watching the movie with them, the thought occurred to him, this is a horrible model for my girls. Here's this young woman hiding from her stepmother because she feels helpless and afraid. So she takes a menial job working for 7 short cranky guys because she thinks she can never find more fulfilling work. She sits around passively waiting to be rescued, singing, someday my prince will come. He decided that his girls needed to know never to do this. So he told them, if you are ever in this situation, you confront that stepmother face to face and you tell her to come to grips with the aging process. You have no intention of being the scapegoat for her neurotic insecurities. She needs to find a good therapist. Tell those 7 short guys to get a life. If they can't handle the basic challenges of personal hygiene and housekeeping, they'll have to find some other codependent to enable their domestic passivity. And stop waiting for a prince to come around and rescue you. Stop waiting. Build deep relationships, find meaningful work, serve the poor, and when it comes time to choose a prince, let daddy do it, okay? Man, nobody ever said that releasing kids was easy. Watching them become independent can be incredibly challenging. It can be painful at times. But Proverbs 11:21 says, the children of the godly will go free. Now, granted, in this verse, he's talking about freedom from punishment. But I think there's a sense in which a gift that we give to our children is freedom. We release them, for better or for worse, so they can become the children, the person, the adult that God's designed them to be. Years ago, Dr. James Dobson on Focus on the Family asked his radio audience, what's the greatest problem of adult children dealing with parents and in-laws? 2,600 young adults responded, and 44% said, my parents won't let me go. Nearly half of these young adults said, my parents just will not release me to be an adult. I mean, let's be honest. A lot of parents hold on to their kids because they just love the good old days. Others are afraid if they let go, their kids are going to walk away and never come back. Friends, I really believe the best way to hold on to our kids is to let them go. It is counterintuitive, but it's true. Complete release is the most likely way for them to remain close. Open hands build the strongest bonds. As we turn them loose to soar on their own, it's going to be the best thing to help us stay connected. Man, we have lived all over the place. And my parents have blessed us to do that. Sometimes we'll say, hey, we're going to come over. And they'll say, oh, you're so busy, don't come. And we're like, we want to come. We want to hang out with you. And it's because they've been so free. They've never put pressure on us to do that. Now, if you nag your kids, they might stick around.
If you pressure them to show you more attention, if you pout whenever they're not there, I mean, it might work. But if you love them, give them space. And it is the most likely way that your relationship is going to flourish. Bob Benson wrote this. He said, "Love can kill as surely as hate can. We can smother with love." He said, "You want to hold on to your kids? Let them go. Laugh with them, cry with them, rejoice with them, and dream with them, but let go. That way, when they come down the driveway to see you, you'll know the only reason they're coming back is because they want to see you." Okay, man, we've talked about a lot of things today. Kids need freedom to discover, and they need boundaries, and they need a godly example, and they need independence. But what's the bottom line here? Right? Is it about releasing gradually? Is it about modeling good behavior? Is it about letting go so we can hold on? You know, what's the pivotal truth? Let me give you this, and then we'll kind of wrap it all up. Bottom line today is that releasing is ultimately trusting. Releasing is ultimately trusting. We don't release our kids because we know that there's, you know, no danger of anything going wrong. We don't know what the outcome's going to be. There's no guarantee for success. You don't get a contract in writing. We let go, trusting that we've done our best, trusting our kids that they're equipped for the next phase of life, and most of all, trusting God that He's ultimately responsible for them. We are not God to them. He loaned them to us for a little while, but we trust that He can do a better job than we can. You think about a kite. Man, a kite flies high and can be so beautiful up in the sky, but it's connected to the ground. And you might be tempted to think, if I would just let go, boy, that kite would just sail forever. But just the opposite would happen. You let go of a kite string, the kite dive bombs, and it comes down because it needs that anchor. But man, don't miss this. We are not the anchor. Parents are not the anchor. The values that we've taught our kids, those are the anchor. The integrity that we've shown to them, the character, the confidence we've instilled in them, those are the anchor. Most of all, the faith that we've given them, that we've taught them, that we've shown them, faith is the anchor for them. They need to be secured, but we're not the anchor. Those things are, we release them and we trust. We are most likely to succeed as parents of adults when we release gradually and we model Christ-like character for them and we help them become who they need to be. I want to close with just some verses from Proverbs real quickly here. Kind of picture, I was thinking about that video, you know, the mom letting her daughter go off to college and, oh, I didn't tell you this, this, or this. This is like a parent dropping a child off at college or helping them move into their first apartment. And it's like, this is what mom or dad wants to say before we part ways for a little while. Okay, listen to these verses from that perspective. My child, don't lose sight of common sense and discernment. Hang on to them. Hold on to wisdom, he says. For those things are going to refresh your soul. They're like jewels on a necklace. They keep you safe on your way. Your feet will not stumble. You can go to bed without fear. You'll lie down and sleep soundly. You don't need to be afraid of sudden disaster or the destruction that comes upon the wicked. For the Lord is your security. He will keep your foot from being caught in a trap. This parent says, if you seek wisdom, the Lord will be your security. And the picture here is a parent who's releasing a child to go out and find their own way in the world. We do that with our kids. We're not abandoning them, but we're not going to be there every moment to show them the way. We're not going to tuck them into bed every night. We're not going to protect them while they sleep. The Lord is their security. And so we trust Him, and we trust them to make the most of the next chapter. Releasing is ultimately trusting. It's not easy, but it's just really, really important. Let's pray. Father, every week as we've talked about parenting, we have talked about You as our perfect Father. That ultimately You have paved the way. Ultimately You have shown us the way to be a parent.
And God, you've given us freedom. You've given us free will. You've given us the opportunity to choose. And it's a dangerous thing because sometimes we choose very badly. But God, you've given us this freedom because you love us. And you know that the most meaningful relationships are just built on mutual love, not manipulation, not guilt trips and coercion. And so God, I pray that as we relate to you in a spirit of love and surrender, I pray that as we release our kids, that they'll make wise choices, that they'll choose the right paths. And God, that as we let them go, it's the best way to hold them close, because the relationship is free to become a peer relationship as adults together, brothers and sisters in Christ, ultimately. And so this is our goal, this is our prayer, in Jesus' name, amen.